Okay, before we begin the new parak, I said yesterday that we would take some time now just to do a little bit on the sugya psikreshe, because this is really a linchpin sugya in the issue of psikreshe l'nechale. There's almost no hint to it here, except for the Rashi. Rashi over here mentions the fact that when mezalfin al yishin, when you sprinkle the wine onto the ish, why is it that this is not classified as psikreshe? So Rashi says that's because you could do it with small drops. If you do it with small drops, then it would not extinguish it. Therefore, it's okay and it's not considered or classified as psikreshe. Rashi's question is basically on the position of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon believes that davar sheino mitkaven is mutar. And when he says davar sheino mitkaven mutar, we have a number of sugyot and shas, especially in the Gemara and Shabbos, that tell us that even though Rabbi Shimon holds davar sheino mitkaven is mutar, Abai v'rovo da'amrei tavayu by psik reshe v'lo yamut. If you cut off the chicken's head, of course it will die. In those instances, afilu Rabbi Shimon mode that davar sheino mitkaven is not mutar. So the understanding of psik reshe, for some reason or for whatever reason it is, psik reshe eliminates the heter of davar sheino mitkaven. So in order to understand that, we first take a step back and understand why is it that davar sheino mitkaven is mutar. So one of two possibilities of why davar sheino mitkaven is mutar, either because when someone lacks kavono, when they're not intending for a certain action, then we say it's as if they didn't do the action. The action's not there. If they don't intend for it, you need a maaseh, you need a pi'ula, but a maaseh and a pi'ula is defined by the fact that the individual knows what they're doing and intends for what they are doing. Well, that maybe not just by Shabbos, because davar sheino mitkaven applies even outside of Shabbos. So here, if you have a lack of pi'ula, a lack of maaseh, then that would apply anywhere, not just in Shabbos. The other possibility of why davar sheino mitkaven is mutar is because the lack of kavana says that the isur is not assigned to you. That it is, the masa is there, but it's not a massive isur because you didn't have intent for it, you didn't have kavana for it. So the one of two ways that we say that davar sheino mitkaven is mutar, either because the lack of kavana makes it that there is no masa, or that the lack of kavana says that the masa is not a masa isur. So the question is, psik reshe, when we come to psik reshe, how does it overcome that problem, or why does it take away what we said before? So there are different ways to formulate it. One of the ways is to say that psik reshe, since it's an automatic outcome, that if you take action A, that action B will happen. If that's the case, we said before that davar sheino mitkaven says that there is no masa. There's no masa because you don't intend for it. But over here, what we're going to say is, since the automatic outcome of A is B, therefore, when you do masa A, it's as if you did masa B. It's a masa. We classify it as a masa because that is an automatic derivative of A. And that will overcome the problem or the lack of masa that is generated by eno mitkaven. Psik reshe will regenerate it by connecting the two pi'ulot, by connecting the two actions. The other possibility is that psik reshe is the other way around. That because psik reshe, you intend for the first action, therefore we assign your kavana to the second action, because since A, if you do A, B will happen. Therefore, if you have kavana to A, it's as if you have kavana for B as well. And so the other side of davar sheino mitkaven that says that davar sheino mitkaven is mutar is that the lack of kavana says it's no longer a masa isur. But over here, the psik reshe will take your kavana for the first action and apply it to the second action. So those are the two possibilities of the basics of psik reshe. There is a third possibility of explaining psik reshe, and this is somewhere along the lines of what you were suggesting, David, which is that psik reshe is chayav because you must want the outcome. You must want the outcome. If you're doing this, and you know this is an automatic outcome, you must want the second outcome as well, otherwise you wouldn't do it. You'd only do it because you want both outcomes over here, not just one of the outcomes. That is most likely the position of the Aruch. The Aruch, who is brought down by the Tosafot, the Aruch says that when it comes to psik reshe is only true if you do want the outcome. But if you do not want the outcome, and you can specifically state that it's not in your interest to have the outcome, that's what we call psik reshe delo nechale. And psik reshe delo nechale, the Aruch says you are, it's mutar. There is no problem, psik reshe delo nechale, mutar. Tosfo claims that the major source, the pivotal source for the Aruch is our Gemara. That's mezalfin al yishin. Here's a classic case of psik reshe, where when you sprinkle the yayin al yishim, it's going to be mechabeh. Nevertheless, lo nechale, he doesn't want it. And here the Gemara says, no problem, calls it Dabashin of Tkavin and never asks the question of Psik Reshe. And Tosfos says that's the proof to the Aruch that the fact that Psik Reshe Levil Nechele is Mutar. And that's because the Aruch believes that Psik Reshe is about something, you do something, you must want the outcome. But if you can demonstrate you don't want the outcome, then we say that it's Psik Reshe Levil Nechele and it'll be Mutar. What's interesting to note is that the Aruch, if you look in the Aruch itself, he never brings that as his proof. He never brings this as he mentions many other Gemaras, but he never brings this Gemara as his proof, which is interesting that Tosfos viewed this as the pivotal proof for the Aruch. So we have the position of the Aruch of Psik Reshe Levil Nechele, which is it's Mutar. The Rosh in Shabbos suggests that this is only true in Melechet Shabbos, that the Aruch's opinion of Dabar She'eno Mitkavin, or Psik Reshe is still classified as Dabar She'eno Mitkavin when it's Lo Nechle, is only true in Shabbos where there's an issue of Melechet Machshevet. Since Melechet Machshevet is so important, the outcome, your feelings about it, your Kavana are so important, that's why over there it matters. But outside of Shabbos, the Rosh claims that Psik Reshe Lo Nechle would be Chayav, according to the Rosh. That's the position of the Aruch, and the modification, the qualification by the Rosh, that maybe outside of Shabbos it doesn't apply. The major position on the other side is the position of the Tosafot. Tosafot believes that Psik Reshe Levil Nechele is Melocha She'in Tzricha LeGufa. It's the same thing as Melocha She'in Tzricha LeGufa. Because here, you're doing a Melocha. In the end, we're assigning to you the Maaseh as if you did it. But it's in Tzricha LeGufa. That's not what you want. You're intending for A, Maaseh A, and that's what your objective is A. B is not your objective. Yet we're going to assign you that objective because either we're going to assign you the Maaseh, we're going to assign you the Kavanah. So that becomes what we otherwise would call Melocha She'in Tzricha LeGufa. We know the din by Melocha She'in Tzricha LeGufa is Patur Aval Asur. So the feed Tosafot, and Tosafot throughout Shas, there are numerous Tosafot that say this, I'll send you all the Makorot afterwards, but that Psik Reshe Levil Nechele is viewed as a Melocha She'in Tzricha LeGufa, and it's an Isur Dirabonon. Now, he does quote B'Shem Rashi in one place, and Rashi himself doesn't seem to say it, but Tosafot quotes B'Shem Rashi, that Psik Reshe on Shabbos would even be Chayiv Achatat Midoraita. It's not even just Chayiv Midorabonon, it's a Chayiv Achatat, because Psik Reshe makes it even, Kilu, it's a Dabar She'Mitkaven. It's that much, it's that strong. Tosafot doesn't go that way, he claims it's a Melocha She'in Tzricha LeGufa, but he does quote the Rashi to say such a thing. Now, in Tosafot's Shita, do we say Melocha She'in Tzricha LeGufa, that's only a din in Shabbos? Dabar She'in Mitkaven may be a din b'chol Torah Kula, but Melocha She'in Tzricha LeGufa is only a din in Shabbos. And therefore, for certain, when it comes to Tosafot's Shita, the tour of Psik Reshe Levil Nechele will only apply in Shabbos, will not apply outside of Shabbos, because Melocha She'in Tzricha LeGufa in Shabbos is Patur Val Asur. Melocha She'in Tzricha LeGufa B'chol Torah Kula is Chayav, and Chayav Midoraita. So therefore, the Patur Psik Reshe Levil Nechele, at least Midoraita, according to Tosafot, only applies in Dinei Shabbos. But outside of Dinei Shabbos, it'll be a Din De'oraita, and one will be Chayav De'oraita outside of Shabbos. Now, there, as far as Psik Reshe Levil Nechele, what is classified as Levil Nechele? So we saw this together. It was actually, we saw this in the Tosafot in Daf Lamed in Bob Metzia. It's also a Tosafot in Daf Chav Bob Bet in Psachim that Rav Shlomo Zalman quotes. And over there, Tosafot discusses what's really called Levil Nechele. Over there, the Gemara is talking about the Paraduma. And the Paraduma, it says that the Paraduma, if it mates, then it's no longer good, because Allah Aleha all, and since the Zachar was Allah Aleha, therefore it's no good. So Tosafot says, what about Zalo Nechale? Here he has a Paraduma that's worth a lot, and in order for it to be Allah Aleha all, it has to be something that he wants. So over here, he doesn't want that. He's going to lose all his money, because there's an Isur of Allah Aleha all. So Tosafot says, nevertheless, that's not considered to be Zalo Nechale. Why? Because just because there's an Isur, the reason it is Nechale, the reason it's Lo Nechale is because there's an Isur there that you can't Lo Le'o, that you can't have that happen. The only reason it's Lo Nechale is because of the Isur. If it weren't for the Isur, it would be Nechale with this action. So based on that, it also says that's not called Lo Nechale anymore. Rav Shlomo Zalman takes that a step further and says that's the Din by Shabbos also. When we say Psik Reshe Levil Nechele, even if you hold like the Aruch that it's Mutar, that's only when the Levil Nechele is that you really don't want it. If the reason you don't want it is because it's usur on Shabbos to do such an action, that's not called lo nechle. What's the example? What's the discussion in the Rosh Shlomo Zalman over there? He's discussing the issue of the refrigerator. Someone opens up a refrigerator door and the light comes on. So that's a psik ratio. You open the door, the light will come on. But it's lo nechle. You don't want the light to come on because then you can't open the door on Shabbos. That's what the Rosh Shlomo Zalman says. That's not called lo nechle. The only reason you don't want the light to come on is because it's Shabbos and it's an Easter on Shabbos. Any other day of the week, you'd want the light. It's great to have a light in the fridge. You can see things. It's better for you. It's easier to use. So the only reason it's lo nechle to you is because of the Easter Shabbos. That's not called lo nechle. Based on this Tosafot in Bava Metzia and Psachim, that's what Rosh Shlomo Zalman considers by the refrigerator. And that would not be classified as psikleisha lo nechle, but rather psikleisha de nechle. There is a day that is brought by the Me'irian Shabbos, that by psik reshe, what we've talked about so far is lo nechle or delich batle. Rashi calls it as delich batle. He's either not interested in it, or nechle is not something that he needs. What happens if it's a psik reshe and it's kashelo? It's something that he absolutely doesn't want. It's actually to his detriment. It actually works out not in his favor. So over there, the Me'iri quotes a possibility that when even according to the Tosafot, who says that psik reshe lo nechle is malchshen tzricha legufa, nevertheless, when it's a psik reshe, the kashelo, when something that's not just indifferent, or, you know, kind of, it's not so great, but something that's really bad, or something that's detrimental, that would be, he would agree to the sheet of the Aruch in that case, where it's sheet reshe, psik reshe, the kashelo. He goes as far as to say that maybe even Rabbi Yehuda would agree. Rabbi Yehuda believes, davar she'ein mitzgavein is chayav normally. Over here, where it's a psik reshe, that is kashelo, he might even agree that it's mutar. That's in the Meiri in Shabbos, he brings it down to Chavtet. In other places, the Meiri discusses this kind of possibility in the psik reshe of the Nechle. The last two items maybe to discuss in psik reshe is, when is it classified as psik reshe? Rashi makes, or brings a chiddush over here, which is that if one sprinkles the wine on the ishim in a light way, it won't be mechabe. Do it in a heavy-handed way, it will be mechabe. And therefore Rashi says it's not classified as a psik reshe. What do you do now? When you take the action now, how do you have to do it? Once we know there's a possibility that it can be done the other way, do we say do it that way? Or, if according to Rashi, if you throw it on in the full way, it's still not considered psik reshe because there is that alternative. Is the alternative, the ability or alternative that there might be a different way, is that enough to make it that it's not a psik reshe? Or do you actually have to do it that way? Do you have to actually do it in that manner that it will not be? So that is a discussion amongst the Rishonim. It really comes up in the beginning of Ketubot. In the beginning of Ketubot, the Shita Mekubet, it brings down the Ramah and the Rif on one side, and maybe Rashi, there's on the other side, other Poskim on the other side, that when it comes to, for instance, over there, it's talking about one individual can do an action where it won't be a psik reshe. Another individual can't do it that way. The fact that individual number two can do it in a manner that is not a psik reshe, does that make it mutar for person B? Person A can do it and won't be a psik reshe. Person B will do it and it will be a psik reshe. But the fact that person A can do it and it won't be a psik reshe, does that take away the nature of psik reshe from here? So that's a... So very good. So there might be, you might argue that what the Shita Mekubet over there is talking about is two different individuals. But maybe with a single individual, that it would be the case, and that's brought down, Shabbos brings down such a concept, that by, not by two individuals, but at least by a single person, when you can do it, we don't force you to do it. It's really based on in the Rosh Hashanah, it's the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that discusses whether you can get Hana from, when someone takes a neder of not getting Hana from a certain body of water, and then he does a tevilat mitzvah in that water. Is he allowed to get Hana from that water? I mean, do we say that it's a psik reshe that he will get Hana and therefore he can't go in? Or do we say no, that since he could do it in the wintertime where it won't be Hana, so it's over here when he does it in summertime where it is Hana, we don't classify Hana as being a psik reshe over here because there are times or possibilities when he won't do it. There might also have to do with mitzvah lav lehenu, didn't know. There are other issues there, but that's the possibility. Other things to note are just interesting is, for instance, the Ran in Chulin suggests that there is no psik reshe be isurei hana. There's no such concept of psik reshe be isurei hana, and therefore if things by like kilayim and other issues which are outside of Shabbos that are developed because they're isurei hana, then even davar she'ein mitgaven would be mutar, and a psik reshe would not override that. It would not change that. It's always davar she'ein mitgaven. Psik reshe doesn't change isurei hana. It's not clear why he believes that. It's not clear why he differentiates, but that's what they around in Chulin. The last thing to mention, Meiri in Shabbos mentions this, is there a psik reshe by a darabonon? Do we say by Nisa Durabonin is a Pesik Reisha? And the Miri claims, based on the Gemara in Yuma, that says that over there they used to put in the metal, hot rods of metal into the mikveh for the Kohen Gadol to warm it up. So isn't there a problem of Mitzarif? Mitzarif is that you're hardening metal. So the Gemara over there says, no, it's not a problem, there's no problem with Tziruf because he doesn't intend for Tziruf. What do you mean he doesn't intend for Tziruf? It's a Pesik Reisha that it's going to be Mitzarif. So there, Gemara says that it's only a mitzarif derabbanan. It's only a nisu derabbanan. That's what Tosafot, that's what the Miri suggests over here. It's only a nisu derabbanan. And a psik reshe that involves a nisu derabbanan, then we won't say that it's a psik reshe. That's one possibility. The other possibility is mitzvah shiny. But when there's a mitzvah there, the rabbanan one goes there, there is isur b'makom mitzvah, and that's why there's no psik reshe over there. So the question of whether the reason is because it's a mitzvah, like over here, the Gemara said mitzvah shiny. That's the reason there's no psik reshe over here. Or maybe you say that when there's only a din derabbanan, when the problem is a din derabbanan, we say that psik reshe doesn't apply. Psik reshe is only on a doraita level. When it comes to malacha derabbanan, gzeira derabbanan, there we don't assign the psik reshe. We don't say that the maaseh becomes one maaseh, the kavanah becomes one maaseh. We don't say that by a din derabbanan. That develops or really surrounds the issue in that Gemara and Yoma about why is it that it's mutter over there to put the rods in. And the Miri cleanses because mitzarif is derabbanan, and that's the reason for the heter. Others hold that it's a din in the mitzvah, and the mitzvah so there was no gzeira. That's the thing. It's shvut v'migdash and therefore lo gazru. Not because it's a din derabbanan. It's not because it's inherently a din derabbanan. It's because in those situations the rabbanan were not to go there. So that'd be the difference between them. Alright, that was just a quick skira on this issue of psik reshe v'lo nechale. What's interesting here is that the reasons after getting for the oruch, it's no problem here. Why? Because lo nechale, he doesn't want to be mechabit. According to Rashi, he says, well, I have to offer, there was an alternative way of doing it that it's not a problematic, and therefore it's not psik reshe. Again, the question of whether that you have to do it in that manner or not will be left in the Rishonim. The last possibility is mitzvah shiny, which Tosfos quotes in other places here, that's a mitzvah. A mitzvah shiny that we don't say psik reshe, but makom mitzvah. And that might be the heter over here.
The reason I said it is because you could also do it if by chance on the fire, there's also pieces of meat.
Again, Tosus brings in other places, thank you for reminding me, Tosus brings in other places that he can do it in a way, like Rashi suggests over here, he can do it in a manner which will not cause it to be extinguished, so that if there are ivrei of karbanot on there, you can put the wine on top of the ivarim, and then only later will the fire catch it and burn it off, so therefore it would not be a psik reshe, right? That's Tosus' alternative to a possibility of not doing it, like Rashi says over here. Again, the question will arise whether you have to do it in that manner then, and put it on top, or since you can do it in that way, therefore or Devil Shem to come, takes effect, there's no psik reshe over here. Alright, with that, we'll leave the perek behind and we'll move on to the new perek. Dam chadat, shinitaz ala beged. Dam chadat that sprinkles onto the big day kuna, arizei taun kibus. That is required to be laundered. Afo pei she'en ha-katuv mitaber elo b'nechalot. Even though the pasuk seems to be talking about only korbanot chata'ot that are eaten, that are consumed, which will only be a chadat ha-chitona, shenemar b'makom kadosh te'achel. Achad and echalot veachad apnimiot. Doesn't matter. Applies both to chatot achitzanot and chatot apnimiot, which are nisrafim and not neachalim. So they both tunot kibus. They both require shinemar torat achatat. That then parshat tzav where it brings this down. It starts off the sukim over there. They deal with three issues. One is that if the dam chatat comes on a beged to mechabes it, and the need for marika and shtifa kelim in which nitbashel achatat. Those are all under the header of zot torat achatat. So there torat achat. All the chatot become one. Chatat psula, ain't a matanu kibus. Other than a chatat that already was pasul, for whatever reason it became pasul, then if that blood spilled onto the big day kuna, it does not require kibus from makom kadosh. Ben shayta lashata kosher, ben shlo ita lashata kosher. Here, it's irrespective if the animal were once was okay, mutar, and then it became pasul, or it never had a shat kosher, never was any point was it roi to go on the mizbeach. The Gemara says, what's that? Is he shayta lashata kosher? Shalonam shnitma. So there's a case where the korban either stayed overnight, it stayed too long, shinitma became tameh, or shiatzta, it went out of the location of the yetzerah where it was supposed to be. So in all these instances, there was a point at which the korban, after zrikat adam, was okay, and then it was taken out of that location. Once it's taken out, it was a psul that came after the fact, after it was once ra'ui to end up on the mizbeach. On the other hand, what's the ezohi shelo haita lashata kosher? What's the case where it didn't have a time of permissibility? Shinitcha ta chutz lezmanah. He had a machshova of chutz lezmanah or chutz limkoma at the time he did the shechita. That means it's pasul from the moment he does the shechita. It's already a pasul karban. And shekiblo psulim or vizarko or zarko, according to the way Rashi has the gusa here, shekiblo psulim or zarko psulim et dama, they ruin it, and they ruin it from that moment. Since they ruin it from that moment, it never had a time or is a period when it was kasher or it was ra'ui to be placed on the zbeach or consumed by the kohanim. And the reason, as Rashi points out over here, why is it that kiblo psulim et dama, garsina melo garsina vizarko, he says that they don't write vizarko, and Tosfos says he means ozarko. They don't write vizarko, but rather ozarko. Because even a ksheira, carbon karma, after zrika la beged, ain't taun kibus. Once the mitzvah has been done with the dam, then there is no requirement of kibus on the beged, but makom kadosh, if the blood sprinkles onto the beged. So therefore, when it's pasul, or when it's not ra'ui to be done with a zrikat dam, then also over there won't be no problem or no requirement of kibus. So Agmar says, dam chatat shinitaz, vitar achad l'chol chatot, afilu chatatot. So now you have chatat and chatat over here, only includes chatot achitzonot and chatot apnimiot. What happened to the chatatot? Well, if you say that the term zot torat achatat, torat achad l'chol chatot, that means that chatatot should also be included, and the blood of a chatatot should also require this kibus. So Allah matanya, we have a brayta that says explicitly the other way around. Yochote dam chatatot ta'un kibus, tamalomer zot. So when it says zot, zot is a niyut. Samer ish lakish mishum bar kapara makra tishachet. Benish chatot hakatuv midaber. So there it says that the we're talking about in those psukim, we're talking about animals that have shechita. Well, a chatat ov only gets melika, does not get shechita. And therefore, we exclude the chatat ov from the parsha that's there. Tumar says, ve'ema b'nechalot ha-kadu midaber, k'dichtiv b'makom kadosh te'achel. Well, if you want to say that the psukim there are talking about tishachet, only about shechita, it also says there, b'makom kadosh te'achel, it's only talking about nechalot. Nechalot would only include chatot ha-chitzanot, not chatot ha-pnimiot. So why do you suggest here that the chatat ov is excluded because of the word nishkat? Well, then the chatot ha-pnimiot should also be excluded because of the word te'achel. Aval pnimiot lo. So Rabbi Rachmana Torah, that the Torah, we have a reboy of Zotarat HaChadat. Gemara says, Iyach, Yafil HaChadat Ov. So then say the reboy applies to Chadat Ov. So Gemara says, Iyach, Yafil HaChadat Nami, Miet Rachmana Zot. That has a miut of Zot. Uma Ra'ita. Why did you do that? Why do you apply the miut to Chadat Ov and the reboy to the Chadat HaPnimiot? Mistavro. That all makes sense. The Chadat. When we're talking about the Chadat, Chadat HaPnimiot, the Pnimiot, Havaleh the Rebuye. Why? Shikain. These are the commonalities between Chadat HaChitzonot and Chadat HaPnimiot. Number one, Behema. Number one, it's a Behema. Number two is it's shechita, that it requires shechita. Number three is that it requires shechita bitzafon. Number four is that it requires a kabbalat kli. Number five is that it requires keren. Number six is that it requires etzba, that it's put on. The matnot of the dam are done by the etzba kohen, and they're done on their karnot, either karnot mizbech chitzon or karnot ha-mizbech ha-pnimiyah, mizbech ha-zahab. Now, v'choda over here is very difficult, because choda means the corner. Now, we had a machloket, if you remember back in Ezu Mekoman, about what is considered keren for the chata. Is it mean literally the Karen, the Amma by the Amma by the Amma, the Amma cubed is where you can put it? Or is the day of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon over there that it meant anything that was an Amma by Amma that went down all the way to the Sovev, that we consider as if the Karen goes down, as long as you put it in the Choda? So here, Tosfos suggests over here that the Karen and Choda are not two separate reasons. It's Karen according to one who requires Karen, Choda according to one who requires Choda. Not that they're two separate reasons, but one reason depending on which day you hold like. And so you have six items of Ishim. I'm sorry, number seven is Ishim, that they're both placed on the fire, meaning that there's a portion of the korban that ends up on the mizbech hachitzon, which is not true for chatat ov. Chatat ov in all these items is not true. Number one, it does not a behema. Number two is it doesn't require shkita. Obviously, it doesn't require shkita. It doesn't require shkita b'tzafon as well. It doesn't have kabbalat kli because you do directly from the bird onto the mizbech as azdan. Does not require karen or choda because it's done lamato. Chatat ov is done lamato, and etzpa doesn't require because again it's done straight out of the bird. And ishim, nothing from the chatat ov ends up on the mizbech. It's eaten by the kohanim entirely. There's nothing that goes on the mizbeach.
All these dimensions, they're more important.
Right, but we have more reason to believe that the chatat pnimiot is similar to a chatat chitzona than to say that a chatat of is similar. And the verse says, "Well, adarava chatat of havelei the ribuye shekein chutz kamota." It's both; they both are chatot chitzonot and vachilak kamota. They both are neachal. Chatat chitzona had the kohanim eat, and so do they eat the chatat of. Tanach lefishin. It's 7:2. So therefore, that's the idea that it's more similar. The chatat pnimiot is more similar to chatat chitzona than an of is to the chatat chitzona. Therefore, we'll use the ribuye of zotrat. chatat include the chatol tapnimiyot, and we use the word zot as the miyot for the chatat ha'of. So that's the answer of Rish Lakish B'Shem Bar Kapara. Now we have the answer of Yosef Amar Makra. Pasuk says Yochlena. The Yochlena, which is written in the singular, so Yochlena lezu v'lo la'acheret. So that you eat this one and not another. V'ne'achalot mi'et hakatuv. Within those that are eaten of the chatot, the pasuk eliminates one. It says not all those that are eaten, but one of those that's eaten. Well, there are two that are eaten. It's either the chatat achitzona and the chatat of the two that are eaten. Vela zot lamali. So then, what about the word zot? What do you do with the miyot of zot? So ilav zot havamini yochlena orchei the kroka mashmalon. Right? I would have thought that's the normal way the pasuk speaks, because the rest of the pasuk is midama, mibsara. It always turns. It's talk. The whole pasuk is talking in a singular form. So I would have thought that the singular form of chlena is just the literary style. It's not coming to be ma'it. So zot tells me that yochlena comes to be ma'it. What's it be ma'it? Amongst those that is eaten, those that are eaten between chatat achitzona and chatat of, one of them is eliminated. The one that's eliminated, obviously, is the chatat of, and that's why there's a miut for chatat of, according to Rav Yosef. Rab Omar, Omar Kra, Asher Yizeh, Bazot HaKadu Medaber, which would refer to the chatot apnimiyot. Chatot apnimiyot, the Torah gives a specific instruction that there be Hazaa Midama. Rabbo even takes it a step further. He says, the main part of this parsha in the Torah is about chatot apnimiyot, because it's talking about Yizeh. Yizeh applies to chatot apnimiyot. So we do Hazaa with of, not with the chatat achitzona. So Omar says, Vatanyo, Avu Bishena Kadu Medaber El Benechalot, it really should be B'tanan, because this is our Mishnah. Avu Bishena Kadu Medaber El Benechalot, so even though the pasuk is only talking about nechalot, in that our Mishnah, it says over here, echad a nechalot ve'echad a pnimiyot yinun kibus. Shnemer terat a chatat, terat chad a chol chatot. But the Mishnah began with afu pishena kadubar el benechalot. Pasuk, the main gist or the main area of the parsha is talking about those that are eating, which is chatot a chitzonot. So our Mishnah suggests that the main part of the parsha is talking about chatot a chitzonot. Rab over here suggesting that the parsha is really talking about chatot a pnimiyot. So how do you explain our Mishnah in that way? So Mar says no problem. That's the Indian Mariko Shtifa. There are three different items that are mentioned in the parsha. Mrika Shtifa and Kibus Adam Yeta Beged. She says our Mishnah is talking about the issues of Mrika and Shtifa. Over there, there's clearly talking about the Chatot Achitzonot. But when it comes to the Hazat Adam, when it comes to Yizeh, and it gets splashing on the Beged, that's talking about Chatot HaPnimiyot. About the Inni Kibus, Asher Yizeh Ktif. That's, and that refers to Chatot HaPnimiyot. Where it says, Iyachi, Echad HaNechalot, Ve'echad HaPnimiyot. Why does our Mishnah phrase it as both Nechalot and Pnimiyot are Chayav B'Kibus? Where do they put first? They put Nechalot first. Versus, it should have written it the other way around. Put pnimiyot before nechalot. As Tosu says, whatever is pashut pshat in the pasuk, you should write that first. So Mar says today, echad pnimiyot echad nechalot. Go ahead, change our Mishnah to read that way, no problem. Mar says, why don't we include chatat ov nami? We have the miyot of zot, because the chatat ov requires hazah. Requires hazah, why is it included? Well, if that's the case, then a chatat chitzonot doesn't have hazah. Why don't we exclude it also? So Mar says, Rachmana, Tarat. So Marita, why'd you do that? Mistava, Chatai Behema, Beledi Rubuye, Chatai Chitzonot, we concluded, Chikain. Again, the same list that we had before. Behema, Shchitat Safon, or Shchitat Safon, Kabbalah, Bekli, Karen, Etzba, Vechoda, Vishim. Those are the seven things that are common between them. Adraba, Chatai Tov, Beledi Rubuye, Chikain, Azah, Kamoto. It has a commonality between the Pnimiyot and the Chatai Tov. They both have Azah mentioned by them, and they both require Azah. Harech Tefishin, it's seven against one. Therefore, we say Chatai Chitzonot makes more sense to include through the than does to include the chatatov, which only has one thing in common. By Rabbi Avin, chatatov shechnis dama b'tzavara bifnim. You took in a chatatov with the blood inside of the neck. Ma, what's the din? Tzavara keklishere dami. Since there's no kabbalat adam by the oaf, the neck of the oaf becomes the klisharet, and as if you took it in a klisharet, umitza, then he puts, odilma, kitzavar behema, as a din like a tzavar behema, if you take in the dam inside the neck of the behema, the dam is not pasul. We have a principle that if you take in a chatat achitzona, the dam pnimi, then it becomes pasul. It's no longer any good. But that's only true if it's taken in a klisharet. If it's taken inside the neck of the behema, it's not pasul. Why? Because it says, midama, amar chamana velo bibsara. It talks about from its blood, but not while it's still bibsara, not while it's still in its neck. So what? How do we classify the oath? Is the oath classified like a psara, or is it classified like a klisharei? So tashma, pirkasav and ichnasal lifnim. We're talking about a chatat Chatata over here, and after it was shechted, it bounced around into the Heichal, the Chazra, and then it came back out into the Azara. Kshera. Ha, but the implications from this are high. Chnisa. If you intentionally took it in, then it'd be Psula. I mean, only because it happened passively that it bounced in, bounced out, is it Kshera. But if you actively took it in, then it wouldn't be Psula. Mar says, the rest of that statement over there, what are you going to do? The Ptani. Of Yetzal the Darom, he did the Shechita B'Tzafon, it bounced out to the Darom, Chazra, and then it came back into the Tzafon, Kshera. Ha, the implication of that were Hotziah Psula. If you took it out of the Tzafon, it would be Psul. And we know that's not true, because the only bounds of the Kodesh Kodeshim are the Azara. Tzafon is a requirement for Shechita, and maybe Kabbalat Adam, but that's not a requirement for the animal must be kept there. Everything has to be kept. Once it's done in the Tzafon, it can be moved out of the Tzafon. So obviously, Hotziah is not the problem. Ella, ha, Yetzal the Chutz, it's Trichalei. We need the Yetzal the Chutz. Why? We need it because of the Seifa of the Mishnah. The Seifa of that Mishnah. What's the Seifa talk about? That talks about when it's at the edge of the Azara, and it bounces out of the Azara and back into the Azara. So over there, you would have thought, you would have a Havamina that when it bounces out and comes back in, that it'd be a Kshera, because it happened passively. There, the Mishnah is a Psula. So that's why we need Yetzal the Chutz v'Chazara. Over here, the reason of Yetzal doesn't apply. Whether Hotziah or Yetzal over here, it makes no difference. But I'm Yetzal the Chutz, it's Trichalei. So we can say in our cases over here, the Yetzal is because of the Seifa, not because Yetzal makes a difference over here. If it was Hotziah, it would be the same din. The reason we need Yatzah is the Chirsh of the Sefer, that even Yatzah is still Pasul. No proof, inconclusive. A lot of cases like this in Zvachim, inconclusive. By Rabbi Avin, Nishpach al Ritzpa Vasfa. What happens if the blood spills out of the neck of the bird, and then he picks it up? Mao. It's Ruchehu Delo, it's Ruchehu Manu Klisherate. So there, since there is no need for Klisherate of a Kabbalat Adam, Hilkach Osvo Vekasher. Therefore, as long as you get the blood, it's no problem. You don't require any Klisherate, and if it falls out. Oh, Dimo Mifso Paso Be Rachmana Klisherate. So maybe the Torah says that a Klisherate is Pasul by it. Hilkach Osvo Pasul. Therefore, if he brings it together, it will be Pasul. How do we view this? Do we view that there is no need for a klisherate whatsoever, and therefore the neck considered like the receptacle, and therefore it spills out of the neck, like you put it back in, just like if you had a couple of dandam in a kli and it spilled, you could put it back in. Or do we say that mitzvah pasul be rachmana, that the only vehicle for doing the hazat dandam by the oven is through the neck? It comes out of the neck, it's pasul legamrei. Because of pasul amarava tashma yochel he dam chatat of taun kibus. I would think that dam chatat of needs kibus. Tamalomer zot, that the miut is that zot. V'isakodach mitzvah pasul be rachmana. If you think that the Torah is posel as soon as it leaves the neck, it'd be pasul, then why are we worried about blood getting on a beged and making the beged needing a kibus? It'd be dam pasul. It'd be pasul, and once it's pasul, it doesn't require kibus. That as it reaches the beged, or when it reaches the beged, it's in the avir, and that's already pasul. So Amar Rabuna, Breder Rav Shuv, Madik B'li B'tzavara. Sticks the beged right into the neck, that it's not something that is coming out, but it's still in the neck, so it's not a problem. So that won't, no proof from there. Zibai mi nei, Levi, nitaz mi beged the beged mahu. What happens if it bounces from beged to beged? That once it already reached the first beged, it requires kibus. Oh, dilmalo. I mean, that once it reached the first beged, it already requires kibus, and it's pasul now, and that's it.
What's the question?
It bounced from beged to beged. It went from one beged to another beged, not directly from the chatat. Does the second beged require kibus?
Zusheila, that's a really good question. Our assumption now is that if it gets onto the beged, then even though it requires kibus, it's not batel mitorah dam. It's not batel mitorah dam, and still quote unquote ra'uy lahaza'ah, then it would still be kasher. If it falls onto another beged, it'll cause it to need kibus as well. On the other hand, if you believe that it's problematic, meaning because the beged requires kibus, and if the beged carries kibus, then it's batomle mitora dam, it no longer has the status of dam, now it is pasul. If that's the case, then the dam is pasul, and when it goes on to the next beged, it would not require kibus.
Amalei zusheila don kibus mimonavshach. You need it anyway. Ios vav kasher hakasher. Yoso pasul. Anak Rabbi Kibus v'leir damar haytalashata kosher v'nifsala dam toon kibus. So it does it. Mimonavshach is going to require. We don't hold like Rabbi Kiva argues on our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that when it's dam psula, you don't need to have kibus. Rabbi Kiva says no, dam pasul. But if it had a shata kosher, then it does require kibus. So over here, when it went into the first beged, either you can take it back and it would be kasher, and if that's the case, if it bounces to the next beged, it's still kasher blood, and it would be chayiv in kibus. Or if you believe that it has to stay in the neck, and if it leaves the neck, it's pasul, then what's on this beged is pasul. But Rabbi Kiva is of the belief that dam that becomes pasul, if it had a shat kosher, which is the case here by this bird, then it always needs kibus, and it will require kibus when it bounces to the second one. All right, we'll stop over here.